And here's another one. You all know her. She's our tremendous representative in the House of Representatives. Where she serves with tremendous courage and great principle and stands up for what's right all the time, whether it's peace or universal health care or union rights. And she's been here. She's been at the Capitol time and time again over the last 4 weeks, showing her solidarity, inspiring the activists, providing leadership, which she does so well all the time. So please give it up for Representative Tammy Baldwin.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you all. Like Ed Garvey, I have remarked so many times over the last few weeks of how proud I am to be a Wisconsinite. How proud I am to represent all of you in the United States Congress. What we've seen over the last 4 weeks is amazing. Amazing. But I'm also, I know you are too, proud to be Wisconsinites because of our incredible history. Because of our firsts, our progressive firsts. We're a leader in education, civil rights, and workers' rights. We were one of the first states to write into our state constitution a guarantee that all children should have access to a free public education. We were the first state in the union to ratify the constitutional amendment guaranteeing women the right to vote. We were the first state in the union to protect gays and lesbians from discrimination in the workplace. You know, our state, Wisconsin, we invented workers' compensation in 1911. We were the first state to pass unemployment compensation laws in 1932. And we were the first state to grant collective bargaining rights to public employees back in 1959. And yet we get this guy who's in office for 6 weeks and wants to repeal 6 decades worth of progress in 6 days. But we the people rose up and we said, no way, not here, not now. And what did we do? Well, we gathered, first by the dozens, then hundreds, then thousands, and then tens of thousands, and we all stood together and said, no way, not here, not now. Now, we may have lost a battle this week, but we will not cave in to these extremists. You know, they're just beginning. They're just beginning to advance a long agenda, an agenda that they've been plotting for decades to slash and burn so much of what we hold dear. Now, people ask me all the time over the past few weeks, does this really matter? Are we really making a difference? And I answer with a resounding, yes, you're damn right we're making a difference. You know, already because what we've done in Wisconsin, there are people in other states who will not have to fight this battle. This past week represented the 46th anniversary of the Voting Rights March. from Selma to Montgomery. And I wonder about the protesters and demonstrators and marchers, what they were thinking back then. They couldn't have possibly known what their actions would mean. In a sense, they were simply putting one foot in front of the other. But by doing so and by speaking out, what they were doing at that point was facing tyranny head on. And what they did was change the course of history. That's what you're doing today. That's what you're doing here in Wisconsin. You're facing tyranny head on and saying, no way, not here, not now, and not ever. Now, I just heard Ed Garvey struggling to say something nice about Scott Walker. I actually am going to say something nice about Scott Walker. He's done one thing for us. He's brought us all together. All walks of life. Students and teachers, parents and children, young and old, public sector workers, private sector workers, union families and non-union families, factory workers and farmers, nurses, firefighters, and football players. You know, he really has given us a gift, a moment of clarity in which we recognize what brings us all together and what binds us all together. Wisconsin values, workers' rights, a commitment to the education and health of all of our people, honesty, transparency, and respect for each other and for our democracy. You know, he brought us together, and we drew a line in the sand, or as some of my good constituents remind me, a line in the snow. We said, in Wisconsin, we solve problems by working together and not by silencing the voice of working men and women. We showed the nation that this abuse of power has nothing to do with balancing the state's budget. It's about union busting and politics, and it's about corporations buying elections and expecting a payback. We knew what they're selling, and we're not buying. Now, this is not a new struggle. What Fighting Bob La Follette said more than 100 years ago rings so incredibly true today. He said, when legislatures will boldly repudiate their constituents and violate the pledges of their platforms, then indeed have the servants become the masters, and the people ceased to be sovereign, gone the government of equal rights and equal responsibility, lost the jewel of constitutional liberty. Do not look to such lawmakers to restrain corporations within proper limits. Do not look to such lawmakers to equalize the burden of taxation. Do not look to such lawmakers to lift politics out of the ways of darkness. Fighting Bob La Follette has passed on, but he's also passed on to all of us the fighting spirit. It is up to all of us to be the stewards of our democracy the way he was in his time. We must take our battle to the ballot box. And as Jesse Jackson Sr. said earlier today, we must come alive on April 5. We must send a message to Governor Walker by electing Joanne Kloppenburg and restore the honor of our state Supreme Court. This is an election we must not lose. We must We must lift the spirits of the tired who stand in the trenches with us, and we must keep marching, one foot in front of the other, with the faith that we will prevail. Our cause is right and just, and we derive our strength from one another, and we stand together in solidarity. On Wisconsin!
What an honor it is to be represented by Tammy Baldwin in Washington. It's a huge honor for me to introduce Representative Dennis Kucinich of Ohio. He's been a fighter for progressivism since he was the populist boy mayor in Cleveland way back when, where he fought the corporate powers locally, the utility companies. And he's always been a union man, working for unions both in and out of office. And he's been the most outspoken, or certainly one of the most outspoken progressives in the House for decades now, standing up against NAFTA, opposing war, advocating for a Department of Peace. In his presidential campaigns, inspired millions of people, even though the corporate media was dead set on ignoring him. And Dennis Kucinich knew he had to come to Madison. He knew he couldn't miss this. He knew he had to participate and show solidarity. He called me up one day at home and said, "I've got to come out here." And so we made room for Dennis Kucinich. Please welcome Dennis Kucinich.
Strong, Wisconsin! Strong! Strong! Be strong! Be strong! Thank you. Thank you, Matt, Tammy, Ed, Jim Hightower. You've got a lot of great people who have come to Wisconsin to support you, and I'm very glad to have the opportunity to join them. This is a moment in American history where we're called upon to respond with everything that we are, with all that's in our heart and soul, so that we can reclaim the essence of economic justice before somehow it is lost on the corporate scaffold. We have to fight back. We fight back for our democracy. We fight back for our Constitution. We fight back for freedom of speech, for the right to assemble, for the right to freedom of association. We fight back for due process. We fight back, and we fight back here in Wisconsin. All over America, people are experiencing this ferment that is coming from the events in Wisconsin and the events in my own state, where in the past week, a bill has moved along that would strip the right of collective bargaining for Ohio's public workers, that would put them in harm's way should they decide to strike, because then replacement workers would come in and then would set the stage for privatization. And after all, isn't what this is all about? Corporations want to steal what they feel is theirs to begin with. They don't believe in such a thing as government of the people. What they believe in is government of the corporations, by the corporations, for the corporations. That might work on Wall Street, but it's not going to work in Wisconsin. And it's not going to work in Ohio. And it's not going to work in Michigan. We will demonstrate to Wall Street, we will demonstrate to the corporations that we have the ability to push back, that we will stand up, that we will speak out, that we will march, that we will fight, that we will picket, we will sit down, we will fight back, we will fight back, we will fight back. We are here not for ourselves. We are here on behalf of all those who serve, whose work is dignity, who've committed themselves to public service. We are here for them to say that they and all workers everywhere have a right to join a union, have a right to collective bargaining, have a right to strike, have a right to decent wages and benefits, have a right to a secure retirement, a right to a safe workplace, a right to be able to participate in the political process, and a right to reclaim their government. What we have here today in Wisconsin is the beginning of a new civil rights movement. Because historically, we have to understand that historically, the right that workers had came apace of the civil rights movement, which resulted in breaking slavery, because working people understood that unless they fought slavery and joined with the abolitionists, that their ability to be able to make a living was going to be compromised. So what we have now here is the 21st century version of a civil rights movement where we understand that an economic democracy is a precondition of a political democracy. And so, let this be called the Madison Declaration for an economic democracy, and that is everyone has a right to a job. Everyone has a right to an education. Everyone has a right to health care. Everyone has a right to retirement security. Everyone has a right to housing. And everyone has a right to peace. This attack on our workers, this attack in Washington on working people that results in wealth being accelerated to the top, that results in tax cuts going to the rich, that results in energy policy turned over to the oil companies, that results in defense policy turned over to the arms manufacturers, that results in endless war, that results in a national security state. It's all a part of the same thing, and it's up to us to fight back, 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 fight back. The objectives of corporations are different than those of government. They would like us to believe that the corporate ethic is what government should be about. But we know that corporations are here for one thing and one thing only, and that is profit. Government belongs not to the private sector, but to the public sector. And our responsibility in government is to provide service. The private sector would like to convert the assets of the public sector for their own use. That's why in your own legislation, in the bill, you could see that there's an attempt in the bill to try to privatize your electric services. You could see that. I know about this. I fought and beat a privatization of a municipal electric plant in Cleveland many years ago. I understand about privatization. I understand that what these corporations want is they want total control over our government. They want, keep the light on, they want total control of our government. In Michigan, we learn that the state legislature there is passing legislation that will enable a fiscal manager to come in and literally abolish city governments and school districts. Now, why are they doing this? Think about it. They'll do this so that the city governments and the school districts can be run for banks and for Wall Street. They're going to make sure that Wall Street will get its pound of flesh, that Wall Street will be able to handle through these managers. They can break union contracts. They can reduce the city government to mush. City councils and mayors don't mean anything. School boards don't mean anything. We are fighting for our democracy here. We are fighting for it, and we will not fail to recover it. And we will recover it by establishing a program of economic reform which will wrap its arm around all of the movements in our states to try to regain control of state government. Because you cannot succeed unless, from the national level, there is the movement that some of the young people talked about earlier that puts into place programs that can create jobs for all, that can create education for all, that can create health care for all, that can protect retirement security, and that can create peace. Right now, we are told in Washington that when we want various social programs, we're being told, well, we can't afford it. But when they ask for trillions of dollars and for war, no one said, oh, we can't afford it. What they say is, just pay, borrow money from China and Japan, and just keep the war going. Part of our program for economic reform is that we end the wars in Iraq. We end the wars in Afghanistan. We stop this national security state. We bring our troops home from around the world. We stop the Pentagon control of our government. We break the hold by breaking their budget. No more wars. No more wars. No more wars. There are those who believe that war is inevitable because they make money from those wars, so their profits become inevitable. But we have to establish a new standard, which is what a Department of Peace is all about. That we have the capacity to create peace. That we're not just victims of the world we see. We become victims of the way we see the world when we buy into the psychology of war, which is a false psychology, which is not something that we should accept as the way the world should be. We have a right to accept a world free of war. We have a right to accept a world where there is plenty. We have a right to create a world that has plenty. I also want to say that when we talk about, if we are going to create a context where state governments can survive for the people, then there has to be accountability. Now, you're showing in Wisconsin, you're determined there's going to be accountability for these state officials who are not responding and who are doing the bidding of corporations. I want to add this. There's another thing our country needs to do. We need to add accountability and insist on accountability for those who took us into war based on lies. I want to say this in Wisconsin because it needs to be said somewhere, but it's time that those who took us into war based on lies, they ought to be prosecuted once and for all. Let's reclaim our nation. Let's reclaim our dignity. Let's reclaim our morality. We are constantly told we don't have any money. Joseph Stiglitz pointed out that the war in Iraq would cost at least $3 trillion. We're at the half-trillion-dollar mark with Afghanistan. But we will have a vote this week, and the vote will be to end the war in Afghanistan. It will be Thursday, House Concurrent Resolution 28. I'm proud to sponsor that. We're going to get another vote on Afghanistan. But let me tell you this. One of the great myths of our time is that we're told, well, you know, we just don't have the money for these programs. We have money for war. We established that. But I want to offer this for your consideration because it's actually the path out, not just for Wisconsin, but for all the states who are struggling with some legitimate budget problems. And we have to look at it this way. We have to start to examine this debt-based economic system, which puts us believing that the only way we can have money is to have debt. How did we come to believe this? We came to believe this because you have the Federal Reserve that was established in 1913. They privatized the money system, okay? We have the fractional reserve system where banks create money out of nothing and then they pyramid the debts and stick to taxpayers when they go bust. We have a government that says that, gee, we don't have the money to fix our roads, our bridges, our water system, sewer system. I want you to think about this now. This is a time in this debate when transformation is in the air, when evolution is in the air. This is time for us in this debate to start to look at the monetary system itself and to ask ourselves whether it isn't time to put the Fed back under the control of the government, to end the fractional reserve of banking, and to say let government spend money and invest into circulation to rebuild America, to put millions of people back to work, to rebuild our roads, our bridges, our water system, our sewer system, money for jobs, money for education, money for health care for all. We don't have to be begging. We don't have to be impoverished. We don't have to be stuck with war forever. We can reclaim our government. We will reclaim it here in Wisconsin, and we will reclaim it nationally because of Wisconsin. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So that's what a real gutsy Democrat sounds like. A real visionary progressive. And you have to wonder why we're not getting more support like that out of the White House. Hell, they couldn't even send Joe Biden out here. So we've got one speaker left and then one song left. Our last speaker is a favorite of ours, an honorary badger by now. He's been here so often at Fighting Bob Fest. I remember hearing him give a great talk for Senator Feingold right before the last election here. I'm speaking, of course, to Jim Hightower, former Ag Commissioner of Texas, the great Texas populist, author, radio commentator, publisher of the Hightower Lowdown. And, you know, I think of ways every time I introduce Jim Hightower, different ways to capture him. And this is what I got tonight. He's the bastard child of Mark Twain and Molly Ivins. And he's walked more picket lines than Joe Hill. I give you Jim Hightower.
Hi-ho. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. Back at the Barrymore, huh? Oh. Our problem tonight is we do not have enough passionate speakers. Is this terrific? I mean, this is just fabulous. What is happening here in Madison, Wisconsin is dynamite. And to have Dennis Kucinich and Tammy Baldwin, these... Can you imagine? Politicians we actually like. There they are. Dynamite. Well, here with the Progressive Magazine, of course, Matt Rothschild. You know, Oscar Wilde said, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Matt Rothschild, Progressive Magazine. They are the movement. To be here with, back again, with Fighting Bob Fest always supports the great stuff, you know, the great things that they do. The Center for Media and Democracy, Mary Batari, the blogs that they are doing live, even as we sit here tonight, they are blogging about what is happening here in Madison, Wisconsin. We got WORT-FM, Long May It Wave. You know, sometimes we think, the media is so powerful. The media is corporate control. They run it all. We can't do anything. Well, wait a minute. We've got WRT. We have Laura Flanders with Grit TV and Free Speech TV. We've got our own media going out there. We've, of course, got Ed Garvey. I know. But we've got something else. Did you know that David Koch is here tonight? David Koch, here he is. This is Thank you. Ian Murphy, the man who made the David Koch phone call to your own Scott Walker. From Buffalo, New York, all the way, right here. I got to tell you, I am genuinely, you get a lot of speakers saying, well, I'm excited to be here at the Rotary Club today, you know. Well, I am excited to be here, and I came here not because I'm going to give anything to you, because I'm getting so much from you, from what is happening here in Madison, Wisconsin. This is, as Tammy Baldwin has indicated, and I think this is really an important correlation here about Selma, 1960s, about what's happening. Something big is happening. We don't know what it is. We don't know where it's going, but we are it. And we have got to be it. And we've got to push it. Just makes me happier than a flea at a dog show to be right here. Looking out at all of you Wisconsin champions of fairness, justice, democracy, common sense, and common good. This Wisconsin rebellion, and that's really what it is, is not merely about budgets. It's not about labor rules. It's about who rules in America. Will it be the moneyed elites, or will it be we, the people? You, yeah. We are it. That's sound like an ad for a car. I don't know. We are it. Okay. I like it. But what's important for you to realize, I think, is that it's not about Wisconsin. You are inspiring America, the workaday majority of this country, to remember what it is to be American. The American people have been looking for a long time. They feel it, they see it, they just experience it. That the downsizers and privatizers, the Wall Streeters and hedge funders, the BPers and the Walmarters, the big shots, bosses and bullshitters who get rich, get bailouts and get bonuses while we get pink slips, eviction notices and budget cuts. Do they not think that we see this? Do they think we have sucker wrappers around our heads? What you represent is the end of the greed. Ya basta. Stop it. No more. Wisconsin, as surely as Boston in 1776, is sending a revolutionary flare across the bow of the moneyed elites and the corporate powers. You will refute, rebuke, and recall the whole gaggle of autocratic, plutocratic kleptocrats. the little Scott Walkers and David and Charles Cokes. They think they have got an ideological grasp on America, but they are as confused as goats on AstroTurf when it comes to understanding what America is about, what Wisconsin is about. I got to tell you, I thought that my state of Texas had the goofiest governor in America. I mean, Rick Perry puts the goober in gubernatorial. I mean, but wow, your man Scott, he surpasseth all understanding. Not merely going after worker rights. We had a big rally right over here a few blocks away this afternoon. Farmers. You know, they say, well, it's just these outside agitators coming in here. Farmers from Wisconsin. They're the ones. They stood up. And they weren't just there to say, well, we support worker rights, which they certainly did say. But they're saying, Walker's program defunds Badger Care. Did you know that the vast majority of farmers in this state depend on Badger Care to have any health care at all? Not only, but I'm saying specifically, these people who might consider themselves at least middle of the road, if not even toward the right, they understand what's going on here. This is not a left-wing conspiracy against Walker. These are the people of this state who are rebelling. And they see the fraud when Scott Walker claims that it's all about, well, we got to balance the budget, the state budget. We've got to balance the budget. Well, bovine excrement. You don't have to be in who's who to know what's what, do you? If he wanted to balance the budget of the state of Wisconsin, I've got a plan for him. No. It's easy. Put a dunking booth out on the Capitol grounds, put him in it, and charge $1 a tab, and the people of Wisconsin will balance the budget. $1 a tab. You know, the cynics say that we can't do it. That ordinary people, workers and farmers and students and just plain folks, can't beat the corporate powers. We can't beat the cokeheads. We can't beat the big money. But as a friend of mine who's been a pioneer in the organic movement put it to me, he said, Hightower, those who say it can't be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. That's you. That's you. That's you. That's us. You are doing it. You are showing Emperor Walker, Scotus Maximus, that it is the common good that matters, not the special good, the common good that matters. You are showing that we really are all in this together. Farmers, labor, environmentalists, poor folks, just common folks. Jesse Jackson puts it well, though we might not all have come over on the same boat, but we're in the same boat now. That's reality, isn't it? You in Wisconsin are showing all the little Scotty Walkers in the states all across America that ordinary people can and will stand up for our rights. We will stand up for our farms and jobs. We will stand up for our communities. We will stand up for democracy. We will do it. What's happening here is big. And Tammy and other speakers are here this evening were saying something important about Wisconsin. And I'll say something. That's why I'm here. I bring nothing to you. I teach you nothing, but I carry a lot away from you. And this is going all across America. When I first moved to Austin, Texas, there was a moving company there. It was a great little company. I think it's called Skeeter and Boogers Moving Company, something like that. And they had an advertising slogan. They had an ad in the Yellow Pages, and I loved it. They said, if we can get it loose, we can move it. Yeah. Well, that's what you were doing. You were getting it loose in Wisconsin. And because you stood up, people in Ohio, in Indiana, in Michigan, in New Jersey, even in Texas, they're standing up. They're standing up because of what you are doing. Wisconsin is the spark that is igniting a new democracy movement in America. America. And I know a lot of people think, well, wait a minute. America, we are democracy. Well, no, we've become a plutocracy. We've become an autocracy. We have to have a democracy movement. We are all Wisconsin now, all across America. We are Wisconsin. What you are doing is what we represent. I spoke from the podium there today, and it was extraordinary to look out over, you know, down the streets and, you know, across the Capitol grounds and et cetera. And I saw so many wonderful signs. One, I preached a little bit and said, "You screw us, we multiply." There you go. Another one said, "There will be consequences," and it had all the corporate interests, the big banks and the supermarkets and et cetera that supported Walker in his election. There will be consequences. And there's a movement here to move your money. Take it out of those banks. Take it out of those banks. Put it into your consumer cooperative. You know, we had a huge rally here today. I don't know whether it was 153 million. I don't know what it was. But I had a call that Ed Garvey got on his cell phone when I was in his car tonight. 5,000 people in Washburn opposing Governor Walker's program. 5,000 people in Washburn, up on Lake Superior. They try to make it sound like we're some fringe group. We are the majority. The majority of the people of this country want political power back to the people. You know, and let's acknowledge that this is not something new. We've been building for this a long time. Midge Miller. Remember Midge Miller? Granny G, who came to Bob Fest after Bob Fest here. Molly Ivins, our great champion. And, of course, Fighting Bob himself. We come, you know, Willie Nelson once said something to me. He said, "Hightower, the early bird might get the worm, but it's the second mouse that gets the cheese." We don't win the first time out, but we keep plugging. We got to be a part of that. We got to keep pushing that. And so the Koppenberg campaign on April 5th, I think it is, that election, make a difference. Call people. Do something. Make a difference. Send them a message. Well, my message to you tonight, and I'm sure you're wondering what it is. is that it's no longer enough to be progressive. We've been progressive forever. We got to become aggressive again. I grew up in a small town in Texas, and small guy, and I learned early on, you should never hit a man with glasses. You should hit him with something much heavier. Well, our heaviest club, our best weapon, is that trio of fundamental founding values that America represents: economic fairness, social justice, equal opportunity for all people. That's what we stand for. That is what hit Mubarak in Egypt. And that is what is now pounding the boneheads like Walkers and greedheads like David and Charles Koch in our own country. As Fighting Bob La Follette himself said, democracy involves continual struggle. That's what it is. Democracy doesn't happen. And when it does happen, we have to come back and defend it. That's where we are right now. We are defending our very democracy. Nothing less. Nothing less. That's what this is about. Scott Walker signed that bill in sort of a quiet ceremony yesterday. And he might think that that's it, it's over. But I can assure him, this is just the beginning. Just the beginning. I'll leave you with this thought. It's from Louis Grizzard, the late great Southern humorist, who says something that those of us who grew up in the South have known to be true for a long time, and that is, there's a great big difference between being naked and being naked. Being naked means you have no clothes on. Being naked, naked means you have no clothes on and you are up to something. We got to get naked. Let's do it together. Thank you, Wisconsin. Thank you. Thank you, Wisconsin. Thank you. America's counting on you.
What a treasure Jim Hightower is. Our house. Our house. Our house. Our house. Well, I lied. We have one more speaker. He's been one of the heroes of the last 4 weeks. You know, Scott Walker tried to divide private sector workers versus public sector workers, and then divide public sector workers versus public sector workers, taking the police and the firefighters out. So with us tonight, just to say a word or two, Maylin Mitchell, state president, professional firefighters.
Oh, sit down. Come on. How are we doing tonight? See, I bet you thought you never see me when the sun goes down, but I go out at night, and no, I don't wear this every day, but lately I have. Anyway, thank you. I want to see if we can do what we've done at all the rallies. And I love you too, but it's not about me tonight. So show me what democracy looks like.
This is what
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
All right, I love that. Thank you to you. But apparently, like I've said in the last two or three speeches that I've given, is that Governor Walker, Scott, Jeff Fitzgerald, they want to show us what hypocrisy looks like. And I'm going to tell you why. We've had tax cuts for the wealthy, but our state is broke. We've had corporate loopholes. Come here for 2 years, no taxes have to be paid to the state, but don't forget, our state is broke. We are open for business, but the state is broke. A two-thirds majority bill passed last month to raise any taxes in the state of Wisconsin, but the state is broke. $7.5 million to clean the Capitol. Whoa. Don't forget, though. Damn right, the state is broke. Now, I hate to make this so simple, but I hate to put this in simple terms. But come on, man. I mean, we're... right? We don't buy that. And that's why we're here tonight, and we're not going to believe that. And I'm going to tell you why we're here. I'm sure everybody in this crowd knows, here and up there. I love the people up top. That's normally where I sit because of my union wages, but ask me starting in Wisconsin. Ask me starting in Wisconsin. We've had the first comprehensive collective bargaining law in the state of Wisconsin. We've had the mediation arbitration law in the state of Wisconsin that was actually called the Employer-Employee Peace Act because it stopped strikes and it stopped rallies like this, and it made the employer and employee sit down and actually talk about hours, wages, and working conditions. But last week, or actually this week, 50 years of history was erased by one swipe of the pen. But you know what? We'll be back, because now our resolve has to be stronger, and our passion has to be deeper, right? And we bring over 300 to 400 firefighters and police officers from around the state because we realize this is important to us. Now, I'm sure you all know that we were carved out. So they tried to conquer and divide us. But we realize that we will perish as fools if we don't live together as brothers and sisters. And that's why we're here. And that's why I came here to be with you tonight. And I will continue to be here every night. And all of my firefighters and police officers will continue to be here every night. Because right now, we are in the House of Labor. We are the House of Labor. And the House of Labor is burning down. But I'm a firefighter. And we're going to come in and put the fire out. And if the House of Labor burns down, we will be here every day helping to rebuild the House of Labor right with you all every day, every step of the way. Thank you.
Malin Mitchell, a real hero. And those firefighters and police officers showing solidarity really warms all the spirit of all the organizers and activists. As we wrap up tonight, I'd like to call up Bill and Bobby Malone to lead us out in song. You may know Bill from his country music show on WRT. You may have heard Bill and Bobby playing around town. Actually, Bobby just told me that she ran Hightower's campaign for ag commissioner in a Texas county back in the 80s. So it's fitting that they're here. Please welcome Bill and Bobby Malone.
Just want to tell you just how exciting it is to be part of this historic moment. And this is our accompanying chorus here.
And y'all are supposed to join us, too.
And it's great to be part of that great independent community voice, WORT.
Yeah.
We started out the evening's program with some klezmer music, and now we've got a little hillbilly. I can't think of a better way to define America than klezmer and hillbilly. Of course, Woody Guthrie was a hillbilly singer. About 8 years ago, we sang this song, I think it was the Orpheum, and Dennis Kucinich came on stage and sang it with us, so he's here again.
Yeah.
Can you think of a better chorus to have back of you? But we want all of you to sing. This is for all of you.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Spring waters. This land was made for you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me the golden desert. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Spring waters, this land was made for you and me. I've roamed and rambled and I've followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of the Diamond Desert. And all around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Spring waters, this land was made for you and me. The sun was shining as I was strolling, with the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling. And all around me the voice was shouting, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Spring waters. This land was made for you and me.
Okay, listen to this verse.
As I was walking, I saw a sign there, and that sign said, no trespassing. But on the other side, it didn't say nothing.
That sign was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Spring waters, this land was made for you and me.
One more time.
This land is your land,
this land is my land, from California to the New York Island.